Blog Talk Radio.
You have joined us for tonight's show. I need to first remind you that the opinions expressed on this show may or may not be endorsed by Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, or myself. Each individual owns their opinion on this show. Most Prism Radio shows are suitable for all ages, but it is recommended that listeners should be at least 16 years old. If you're listening live, you can call in at 914-205-5655. That number is at the top of the screen. But please be patient as it may take a few moments to get you connected. If you want to join our live Facebook chat, please go to facebook.com/PrismRadio. My name is Holly Knight, and I will be your host for Prism Radio. So let's get the show started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Prism Radio. This is, I believe, my 98th show, and very happy to have you here. We're going to do a little bit different tonight, and of course, I do a lot of bit different every so often, but so I guess then it's not different, right? But anyway, so the difference tonight is going to be this show is more for reference purposes, more than I'm not going to necessarily solicit phone calls, but if you want to call in, that would be great. If you want to talk about anything, we can talk about the topic tonight, or we can talk about some other things. But it's more for information things. I'm going to, of course, give my slant to things. And just like always, this is my opinion, and it does not necessarily reflect Trans Women National or the members of Trans Women National. But it is a Trans Women National show, so it's important that we talk about some things that needs to be kind of out there. So a lot of this information is on the website. A lot of it is on Facebook. But to be as thorough as possible, I want to get this information out here, because I do know there's been some conversations, some maybe some complaints, maybe some confusion, that sort of thing. So I think to continue to make this as educated as possible, or people as aware as possible, doesn't necessarily mean everybody's going to agree, but at least the most important thing is that there's some information out there about what's going on or what has gone on. So we've already talked about the disclaimer, so when we've talked about the calling in stuff, but again, if you want to call in, it's 914-205-5655. This is about support groups. This is about Trans Women National. It's about Sienna. If you want to talk about any of those things, amazing. That's fantastic. Great. Cool. If you want to talk about anything under the sun, that's also cool. If you're listening to this archive, which most people do, which is fine. And if you have any comments after the fact, because of course, we won't be here if you're listening to it archived, you can contact us at info@transwomennational.org. So that would be the best thing. So it's getting close to the Transgender Week of Awareness, getting close to the Transgender Day of Remembrance. And I want to kind of talk about just briefly what those are and what they mean to the community and that type of thing. So let's kind of go to kind of get started. Support groups. There's support groups all over the country, and they range from many, many topics. There just happens to be also support groups for transgender people. And I will say that hopefully one day in the near future, probably not, but one day in the near future, support groups will no longer be needed, because there will no longer be needed for people the support that are going through difficulties in their lives because they are transgender. And that's really what it is. It's the support group really exists purely, and if done properly, to help those that are struggling with living and their situation, whether it's socially or through their family or friends or economically through employment or lack of employment, physically, lack of medical care, spiritually, from religious institutions, those type of things, all pretty much across the board. There's many, many, many issues. And the support we attempt and the best we can to offer is in a combination of resources to allow people to have resources to contact medical people or a therapist or people in the clergy, or where's the best place to go get your hair done, or the best place to go to a restaurant and not feel like you're going to be harassed, that sort of thing. So support groups in that way. One of the things that we do not get into necessarily very much, there's two topics that we don't get into is often, and it's difficult not to get onto these topics because they are very closely related to human beings, especially in America. But that's the political aspect of being transgender and the sexual aspect of being transgender. Now, I will say the political aspect of transgender, why we don't get involved in that is, and some of you may or may not be aware of this, but the transgender community is about as extremely diverse as any of the communities of any type of identity. And the transgender community has quite a few conservative people. It may shock you. It may actually offend you that you know that. And you may actually wonder, how is it even possible for these people? So we were having a conversation, and again, trying to make things as simple as possible. And if you are transgender or you're very, very familiar with the transgender community, I do apologize. And you may be saying amen, or you may be kind of bored because these are things you've already been aware of. But mostly this show tries, what I try to get across is we're talking to all kinds of people and hopefully talking to people outside the community, because we do preach to the choir quite often. And so if I am preaching to the choir, I apologize. That's just kind of part of it. Hopefully we'll have some things that for the choir in these shows as much as for those that are not in the choir. So the political aspect is, if you can break out the transgender community into kind of three groups, and I'm going to say probably the trans feminine, trans women community into these three groups because of the terminology I'm going to use. But the first group would be the cross-dressing, bi-gender group of people. And that group of people would be predominantly in the trans women community are going to be people that exist as men, work probably as men, in their family they may or may not be out, but they exist and maintain their lives as men. And quite often are probably, just based on percentages of people in our country and in the community, quite often are going to be white men, and quite often probably white men of some income. And you may know where I'm going with this. And so therefore, one of the things that happens in that community is a group of people that has not experienced the lack of privilege. They have some or more privilege than other groups in the transgender community. So therefore, issues like political issues are not foremost on their mind. And although that is of some concern, it definitely still, there are still people in that community that we want to support, because there are suicidal people in that community, people of thoughts of suicide that have committed suicide, because dealing with society at some point makes it very, very difficult for them. Dealing internally in the internal hate. Quite honestly, in the trans women community also, most trans women, transsexual women, let's say, if you want to really break it down as basic as you can, you have there's going to be some kind of movement from being a self-identified cross-dresser to a self-identified transsexual. Most transsexual women, probably at a high percentage, maybe especially if they're over 80, that's changing these days because of a lot of things, but a very high percentage, if not 99%, I'm talking like almost everyone, if not everyone, that's over 30, for sure over 40, but I would even say over 30 for sure, and many under 30 at one time was existing as a dual row person, was a male and a female. So therefore, technically, I guess you can say is a cross-dresser based on the pure definition of the term, not to put any labels necessarily, but of course that's what some people are going to feel. And those people that go from doing this bi-gender thing goes to a single existence as a transsexual, most of us identified as a cross-dresser because that's what we did if we were married or if we were just existing in life. Because 1970s and 1980s and even to the 1990s, early 1990s, maybe even deep, and even today, there's a lot of people that have a really difficult time transitioning for financial reasons, all reasons above that we've mentioned. So that first group may or may not be, just because they're a cross-dresser doesn't mean they're conservative, clearly. I don't know what the percentage, I've never seen a percentage, but there are some. And so therefore, it's important for those people because probably that's the 40, 50% of the trans women community is the cross-dressing by gender community, if not higher. And a lot of them will. And I've experienced it over the many years of someone that identified as a cross-dresser that then again transitions later. So you just don't know. And it's really interesting to watch those individuals kind of change politically a little bit. And I'm, for one, changed politically over the time because person lived in privilege, identified as a cross-dresser, and over time realized that I was needed to transition because I was not a cross-dresser. I think a lot of us that identified that way and then again transitioned, probably we've always been transsexual. We just didn't know any better. Or we just identified that way. And your political feelings about things, because clearly affects you and affects people that you care about. So one reason is we try not to get too political is because it would cause a little bit of a separation in our community. So we do encourage, though, members to become political and hopefully encourage members that are political that are out there fighting, so to speak, for the rights of trans people across the country. And clearly that's a Democrat versus Republican thing. And at this point, the way it is. Hopefully that will change at some point, that even Republicans will be okay with transgender people. So, and I got a lot of friends. I mean, I will say, and I'm being like tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but I do have a lot of friends that are conservative politically that are perfectly fine and care deeply for me and are perfectly fine for transgender people. So anyway, I kind of digress a little bit. So we have the three groups. And so you have the cross-dressing group, and then you have the other group of trans women, so to speak, is the transsexual group. And that group is probably, but it's the group that's out on their own. They've transitioned. They're living somewhat stealth maybe, but at least alone. They've gone past that support need. The middle group is probably the group that we have need for the most, but that's probably the smallest group. And so we exist primarily, support groups primarily for supporting, educating, assisting that middle group or even the other group. The group that has transitioned really honestly doesn't need, so to speak, a group like us. I do think there's some needs for transsexuals to be in these groups. We have quite a few in Trans Women National. But it's a need to give back to the community. It's a need to assist in its need of friendship and those type of things, but as far as support, probably not as much. So that's kind of the model of the support group, that a lot of our support groups exist. It's typically these support groups across the country have historically been, you get a group of trans people in a meeting and they sit around, they talk about stuff that relates to them. And a lot of times it's very, very personal. Hi, my name is so-and-so. I am from here and this is my story. And it's very empowering. It's very helpful. And then a lot of times you get people, it's the first time or that they've been out in public. It's very very moving, very emotional to see a lot of these people experience that type of thing. And so that's that support model that's been going on for years and years and years. So what Trans Women National, is really about is part of that. But so the purpose of this particular show is to explain some things that's gone on. So Trans Women National actually is the fourth title, heading, name of the support group here in the Louisville, Kentucky area. The first group 20-ish years ago, the Louisville Gender Society. And that evolved to a group called the Bluegrass Bells. And then that group changed the name to Sienna, S-I-E-N-N-A. And then Sienna changed the name to Trans Women National. Now, I wasn't around on an administrative level with Bluegrass Bells, why they decided to change their name from Gender Society, the Louisville Gender Society, to Bluegrass Bells. I wasn't around in the discussion of why Sienna changed the name from Bluegrass Bells to Sienna. I've had conversations to people why, and it had something to do, I think, maybe with Bluegrass Bells being a feminine organization by name, trying to be more inclusive, so to speak, of all of the gender identities. And Sienna being a kind of a color that doesn't distinguish genders, possibly. And really, it's difficult to even find out why that was done. And it's not that long ago. I think it's like maybe 12 years ago, possibly, was when Sienna was formed. So then we have... So Sienna has been existing. So I was the president starting about 2008 of Sienna. And then I stopped. I went for about 3 years, and I stopped for a year and then came back. Now, one of the things that has happened is in our transition from Sienna to Trans Women National, it took a long time for us to decide to do this. It was a kind of painful conversation for a lot of us, especially those of us that's been part of Sienna for so long and part of this community for so long. And so the discussion started happening. So what was happening was about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer ago, we started to feel and started to have this feel that we were not serving our community very well. We didn't know why at the time. We had multiple conversations about a lot of things. And one of the things back in 2008, the officers and I in those days, and then the membership over the course of the last, 2008 to seven years, almost 8 years, the conversation continues to be, how do we get more trans men, trans masculine people to our group? At that time, we would rarely get one or two in that area of identity, and they would come a couple times, two or three meetings, and then disappear. We did a banquet, or not a banquet, a pageant back in those days. We had a trans Sienna, Mr. Sienna, and a Miss Sienna, with the effort to try to encourage more of that. And actually, it did not even help us with the membership for the Miss Sienna. ironically, we discovered that all of the former Miss Siennas, none of them attended hardly. After they would win, they would attend a couple times, but none of them currently attend any meetings or hardly any events of any kind. And none of the Misters have done much at all since then. So that seemed to be kind of nuts. So we tried a lot of different ideas and a lot of different things and a lot of conversations. So one of the conversations having with groups, so basically they're the three groups that we have attempted to try to improve over these last seven, eight years, trans men, trans masculine group, try to increase at Siena that group. Then the other group was people of color, try to improve the numbers there. And the third was to try to increase the age, try to get more younger trans people to come to the meetings. So in research and trying to get this done, we tried to do a lot of research as much as we could and conversation and surveys and all types of things and get all kinds of answers and all kinds of suggestions. And rarely did we get one of any kind. But one of the main things that we would get on a regular basis, and I feel like is still pretty true, is that the leadership reflects the membership or vice versa. So if the leadership is a bunch of white trans women over 50, then it's very difficult to attract young trans people, young or trans masculine people, or people of color. The groups just don't fit that well in that situation. Again, we get people of color, we get younger people, and we get trans men, but as far as not a significant amount of people participating. So it's difficult. And one of the conversations, again, I think if I went and I moved to, let's say, St. Louis, and I'm living in that area, and I hear of a transgender organization, and I'm over 50, that I will say, and I go to this group, and it's a bunch of trans people, amazing, fantastic, wonderful people, but they're all under 25. As much as I care and love and can learn from them, and maybe they possibly can learn from me, it probably would be slightly a little bit uncomfortable, just like any groups or anything. Again, now, is that bad or should I still be participating? But it probably is as a group of people that probably can't satisfy support that I would possibly need. Possibly, again, it's maybe more of a feeling. I think the reverse happens. I think when trans people that are under 25, let's say 22 years old, went to Siena and walk in, and you see 3/4, if not 5/6 or 9/10 of every person being someone over 50-ish, they probably feel equally the same. That as much as they probably could learn and probably could contribute themselves, and it probably could be this amazing relationship and probably is really needed, just the comfort level probably would take a little while to get used to, and so therefore that person would probably feel more comfortable and feel more attracted to going to a group that had younger. So we worked on trying to develop subgroups, so to speak, groups of that would fit into that type of thing, and it's really, really difficult to do that. One of the other things we learned is possibly that the model that we use is maybe either outdated or is more specifically designed for trans women over 40-ish, let's say, that, or maybe even it's a cultural thing. Maybe it fits better for Caucasian people, so to speak, white people, so to speak, versus people of color. Maybe it's Hispanic or African American or Asian. I don't know. I mean, I've heard things, and I don't know that for a fact. So we've actually had African American presidents at Siena, and it didn't seem to improve the attendance. Back when I first was the president, the first time we had one of our top leaders was an African-American person and did not seem to help. So I'm not positive that all those things work. And so what we kind of came to was kind of the same type of thing, is that it's kind of like we were continued to think in the box and think in the box and stuff like that. And so we decided over a year ago to kind of start thinking, what maybe we could rethink all of this, really start over and really continue to think all this. And then we started to relate it to, very closely related to, a transgender that is an individual transgender person as far as identity. And really, and if you talk about a name for a group and behavior of a group, especially when you're talking about transgender group, you can kind of relate the group as a, or a person as a microcosm of the group, or vice versa. And you have these individuals, for example, we all can identify, if you are trans, is that your expression, your name, doesn't, especially early, doesn't match your identity. And so you move forward where your expression, your behavior, and your name starts reflecting your identity. You don't change your identity to reflect to your name. You change your name and your expression, or your, at least your name, to reflect your identity, if that makes any sense. So in that same conversation, we started thinking about, is the reality at that point was that we were a group that was supporting trans women. That was our reality, and that was happening. And again, this was multiple conversations, multiple length of time. It wasn't like a aha moment or a epiphany or anything. It was just kind of a realization over, yeah, you're right. And a conversation, yeah, and multiple people at first not liking it, and then gradually people saying, yeah, that's probably true. As painful as, and it feels painful as it is, that transition to that reality is that that's really what we have been for all these years. It's what people see us probably as a lot of times. Now, I will tell you before I forget, the one decision that really helped us, or moving forward to this name, the one thing that really, really helped us a lot was we were aware that was a transgender, a trans men organization already formed in the city. Extremely happy that that's existing. And I know some of the guys that are involved, and I think some of them are fluid in identity and expression, which is amazing. And in fact, if it was up to me, not up to me, it would be kind of nice at some point if there was maybe another group of that was helping, because I think there's probably needs, specific needs for people that are fluid and identity versus masculine or versus feminine. We all have a lot, if not 80%, if not 90% of the same struggles. Clearly, we're all of the same family. We just have some unique needs that to each of our groups. I'm just extremely thrilled that this group is doing well. They have a party, kind of a birth party, coming up this next Saturday. I'm hoping that I can get to this party. And I think it's really, really important that we all are in this together and show our support. And that information, if you want to know, if you are wanting to attend, contact me. I'm looking up Facebook, and I feel bad because I didn't bring up any information of any kind, let alone this, that I can share. But so that was part of it too. So the realization then that's who we are. And so at first we were talking about changing the name, and I will go back, and that's something I probably need to. The biggest complaint on our name was nobody knew what Sienna meant. Unless you knew what Sienna meant, if you went online, you saw Sienna, and you were not familiar that it was a transgender support group, you wouldn't know that. It doesn't reflect anything to do with trans or gender or anything like that. So we really felt that it was really, really important to be more descriptive in our name. That was the first thing that we decided. So we've obviously felt that it had to be something trans and something based on our area. And so once we decided, based on what our true existence was, now, is that offensive? I can't see how it's offensive There's women's groups all over the place. There are groups of support groups for people of color, support groups of African American people. There are support groups for people that are having all kinds of identities, all kinds of situations. I do think there's cancer support groups. There's a Gilda's Club is a cancer support group. I have had them on the show. Amazing, amazing people there. We have conversations that there are similarities, that intersections of ideas that works for them, that works for us, that we can kind of share, and we do on occasion. And it's just absolutely amazing. And but that's a support group. They don't get involved medically. They just are there to help people that have cancer and or people that have people in their lives that have cancer. And so I think the narrow band is because honestly, when you do this kind of work and not trying to be sarcastic, which I have that tendency to be or anything, but you'd almost have to be an officer in this situation to understand that you don't want to admit to this, but because I'm not a big believer in the pie theory, so to speak, is there's only a certain number of pieces or there's a certain number of resources, and you have to be economical with those. In this type of work, that is the case. There is only a certain number of people doing this kind of work, and even those people, they have full-time jobs or they have lives, and you can't expect them to put 20 or 30 hours a week into anything, let alone hardly to get 10 hours out of them. And then they've got their own stuff that's going on. It's extremely difficult. I work for a living now. Back when I did it before, I was not working. I was just not working. I was struggling financially, but I had a lot of time to do this job, and it gave me the ability to do a lot of things. And that was good in that regard, but it's hard to find the time to do this. I and most of you probably can identify, we all kind of live that kind of pie theory. It's like time. There's only a certain amount of time in a day, and there's a certain amount of time in a week, and there's so much going on. It's just difficult to get a lot of stuff done. So when you eliminate, or let's put it in a more positive way, when you start focusing your efforts as a group, as an organization, on one third, let's say, of the whole group, when the other two thirds are being taken care of, and not to say that we would never, because we have been involved in the other groups, focus on that and effort and resources, it just makes it much, much easier. And it's not necessarily, we're not trying to make our life easier, but I'll put it another way. It makes it much manageable. We can accomplish goals. We can get places that we could never get before because we were. And in fact, one of the things we would have multiple conversations on is how do we get more blah, blah, blah to come to the meetings? At least we don't have that conversation anymore. We are much, much more focused in that way. So really, the trans women, the feminine direction made it easier. And I'm going to say, too, is in our meetings, we have monthly meetings. And if you think about it, and I've thought about it often, but I think you get a lot of people say, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do that. In these meetings, we really only have 9 or 10 meetings a year. We have Thunder Over Louisville. We have the Pride Festival. We have multiple things throughout the year that is yearly, every single year, is on the same day as we have our meeting. And then it's like it's getting that time of year. We have this time we have Day of Remembrance, which is almost always on the same weekend as our meeting. And in December you have Christmas time, which is it's the third. Our meetings are the third Saturday, which is probably one of the things we could probably change, make our lives a little bit better if we did it first or second Saturday of each month. It's one of the conversations we may have soon. But that currently, for the last few years, for the last many years, we've only had 9 or 10 meetings a year. And when you have those as far as topics, it makes it easier when you narrow it down. For example, with Sienna, I, as a president, I rarely felt it was right to have a meeting discussing makeup or breast implants or things that were feminine, so to speak, in nature for trans women, because it would not be applicable to trans men or gender fluid people. On the same side, as far as bonding or as far as top surgery, as far as testosterone and dealing with that, the dating scene, all of those things, there are some uniqueness there. So that made things a little bit easier with that. And I said before also, let alone the name now, is when you see it, you at least know what it means as far as the trans women. So then after we decide, okay, this is where we are with our identity then and our expression, trying to match that up, then partly it is the scope. We narrowed our focus on the group, but now the scope. So our conversation is we've always been a kind of a Kentuckiana, almost a regional support group. There were people from Eastern Kentucky, from Evansville, from Indianapolis area over the years have come to our meetings and everything. And if you think about it too, and I've been doing website stuff for a while, and I look at the website. Website is global. You get support people from all over the globe, but primarily you get a high percentage of this support that's on our website is from the U.S. and they're from everywhere. So we're really supporting people online. We're supporting people outside of the Louisville, outside of the Kentuckiana, outside of the Ohio Valley region. So we kept talking about it and talking about it and stuff, and then we didn't want to limit our scope. For example, we said we're going to be Louisville, but does that mean, so if we're trans women Louisville, does that mean we don't really want someone from southern Indiana, which is just across the river? Do we not want someone from Lexington? No. And so we just continued the conversation, and it was a big, bold step, kind of a statement of really, you're going to call yourself national. But we felt that that was a better fit for where we were going because we wanted to be. On top of that, if you do a little research, there really are not very many truly just support groups. Most groups are very, very political in nature. And that's amazing and great that we have those groups. But as far as support where people are offering education or offering resources, there's not a lot of those out there. So that was one of the decision, or that was the decision on national. So once we came up with the name, we did a research on online, and that was a factor. I think we came up with a couple names before this actually, and the names were not available on a domain search. So clearly, we wanted to make sure that it was available in a domain, and we wanted it to be an org domain. So after months of all these conversations, almost a year probably, of meetings about it, conversations about it, thoughts about it, then we come up with Trans Women National. On for me personally, not so much with the other officers because they're fairly new. For me personally, it was a painful agreement. I didn't want to really. I really felt that at least in the city of Louisville, the name Sienna was very well branded by that time. But the realization for me was, and quite honestly, and people don't know this, but until now, but quite honestly, Sienna was slowly dying. The membership was going nowhere. Financially, we were struggling. We had no, it really, the soul was kind of dead in a sense. And I think it's, again, if you think about what it does to an organization, would be similar to a person trying to exist their whole life, trying to exist for years at least, trying to be someone they are not. And we were trying to be somebody we were not. And so once we came up with the name and we came up with the attitude and the feeling and everything, we said, okay, let's go with this. And we established the date of which we would open it as a brand new organization, as a changing a name. So we went to June 1st of 2015 was our birth date. We had a party, which was really very nice. And we put together a new website and a new mission statement and all kinds of things during that time. Now, there's some other things I want to talk about, the officers. I want to talk about some other decision process that's going on with this, where we're going to go, our mission statement a little bit, and maybe some plans in the future. I want to talk about our banquet. And speaking of banquet, I'm going to give you a little bit of a commercial about banquet here. And if I can find it. We'll be back in about a minute and 45 seconds. Hello, this is Holly, and I'm reminding you about this year's Trans Women National Banquet. Wait, you didn't know about it? What is our first annual awards banquet during the Louisville Transgender Week of Awareness in November? It will be held at the Hyatt Regency in Louisville with none other than the internationally famous Dr. Marcy Bowers as our keynote speaker on November 21st at 6:30 p.m. We are pleased to announce that Brian Buford and Chris Hartman will receive our very first Ally Award, and Dawn Wilson will receive our very first TWN Purple Butterfly Award. Jason Gardner and Simone Taylor will be our MCs for the evening, of which will be worth the ticket price alone. The banquet will be held at the gorgeous Banquet Hall at the Hyatt Regency in Louisville, and our reception will be at the top of the Hyatt in a breathtaking revolving restaurant called The Spire. Tickets are on sale now. Please go to our website at transwomennational.org for more information. Thank you and hope to see you there. Okay, welcome back. We're talking about the title is What Trans Women National is Really About. And appreciate you being here. And if you don't mind, spread the word, trying to get people to listen to our show. This is a radio show. Prism Radio now is the under the umbrella of TWN Radio. And I joined with Journeys with Julie, a radio show. And we have our show every Monday night at 8 o'clock. We alternate. Julie goes the first Monday and the third Monday, and I go the second and fourth Monday. And again, talking about the evolution of Trans Women National, where we're coming from, and where we're trying to go, and that sort of thing. So you kind of at this point, then of course we get to the banquet. And I want to talk about the banquet a little bit. Is that really an amazing effort on our part of our officers, and again, I'm going to talk about the officers here in a little bit, but an amazing effort on the officers' part to even off this task. And the task is, and I will tell you and make this somewhat public, is that the evolution of the banquet started out kind of a small idea, and it blossomed out into this extremely gigantic, expensive idea, and I don't regret it at all. I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing event. I think the timing is a little rough because it falls right next to the Feast on Equality, which is equally an amazing event and much, much more expensive, and so I think it's difficult for a lot of people to afford both. So, and again, I think both events are very big. The Feast is a fundraising event that I would say is predominantly a fundraising event. They have fundraising efforts there. Our event is not a fundraising event in that we're trying to make money on the event. In fact, just to be quite honest, we're hoping that we don't lose money on the event. And if we do lose a little bit of money, it's not a lot. So that's what we've been trying to do on the ticket prices, to keep them as low as possible. And we have other expenses. Of course, we have the keynote speaker, which is Dr. Marcy Bowers. And she is the surgeon that probably easily the most famous surgeon, at least in our country, at least maybe globally. But for sure in our country, she's been doing it for 20-some-odd years, was once in Trinidad, Colorado, now has moved to Burlingame, California. Very amazing person, amazing speaker. If you do not have tickets, clearly the meal, the venue, and to hear her speak alone is worth it. There's no doubt it's worth it. It's going to be an amazing event if that's all you got was the meal, the venue, and her speaking. That's not all you get, though. We have a pre-banquet reception before that that's going to be incredible. And hopefully there's some aesthetics things going on there. We have an open bar and your opportunity to mingle with people of all walks. Going to be a great place to network, a great place to talk to people, that sort of thing. Then we, of course, have the banquet. That's going to be a couple of hours. We present our first annual Ally Awards and to two very, very deserving award recipients. That's Brian Buford and Chris Hartman. Brian is the director of the LGBT services over at the University of Louisville. And Chris Hartman is the director of the Fairness Campaign here in Louisville, but it's for the state of Kentucky. Both of the individuals have been very, very involved for many years with back with it when Sienna was existing and Trans Women National has been very strongly encouraging and supportive of the trans community, although they're both neither of them are trans, but very, very supportive of the community and very appreciative. And then our Purple Butterfly Award, which is the TWN Purple Butterfly Award, is going to go to Dawn Wilson. And Dawn Wilson is a trans woman that has been doing so much for our community for so many years. Very deserving equally. And each one of them will get an opportunity to say some things. We can't give them a lot of time, sadly. Again, each one of them could be amazing keynote speaker and maybe a keynote speaker for us in the future. All three of them are incredible and worthy of you representing your group, your business, or yourself and coming and supporting them. And then we have the MCs, which is Victoria Simone Taylor, which is a guest on my last show. And then we have also Jason Gardner, both Simone being a trans activist, an LGBT activist, and Jason, an LGBT activist, both of them very, very amazing people also. Strong characters, love them both. Probably two people that I could probably offend as friends and make up and hug in the same 5 minutes. What I love about both of them, but it does quite honestly, and I do hope that they're listening. I care deeply for both of them, and they have done amazing things. One of the things that they both, I know Jason has served this way for me for a long time because he and I have known each other longer as friends, is catches me on things that I say wrong and that type of thing. So sometimes I'm a little gun-shy and I'm afraid to even say things on occasion, but I do know that the one thing about Jason, at least he knows about me, is that it's by no means meant to harm anyone. And we need people on occasion to be in our lives like that. And they're both entertaining. They're going to both be very, very entertaining. I'm just looking forward to them. I'm actually meeting with both of them tomorrow night. The group, the officers and I are meeting with them tomorrow night. We're going to talk about the banquet and that type of thing. So looking forward to seeing them at that point. So then we have the awards. We have the presentation. Of course, we have the keynote speaker. And we have the after party. We actually have an after party scheduled. So the after party will be at the Spire, which is a revolving restaurant upstairs. At that time of night, at that time of year, it's going to be gorgeous view. It revolves, and we'll have some music up there. But it'll be a great time to kind of get to know people, talk and mingle and socialize and everything. And it'll shut down around midnight. We won't throw you out necessarily, but that's kind of the schedule. And then we will go over to Chill to have an after party for those that are not staying at the Hyatt. So, or even if you're staying at the Hyatt, but probably the reason they're staying at the Hyatt so they don't have to go anywhere after the party, after the after party, or one of the after parties. So So anyway, it's going to be really an amazing event. And as a group, we decided this kind of, again, an evolution of things for the Transgender Week of Awareness. We wanted to do a little bit more, and then we did a little bit more. And quite honestly, as I said, it's a major expensive event that we're just trying to pay our bills. And we do need people to attend because we're paying our bills almost exclusively with ticket prices. And that's, of course, very difficult to do. But so if you hadn't got your tickets, get them soon. You can get more information on transwomennational.org, or you can contact me or us at info, at our email at info@transwomennational.org. Okay, so to finish up a little bit, so one of the things is that if you are in these type of roles, the leadership is critical to this type of thing. And I will tell you what Trans Women National is really about. And this is a little bit of my personal feeling about something. And this was kind of an epiphany for me, or an aha moment for me, is that one of the things that a group like this offers is the opportunity to develop, to give, not necessarily to develop on a way of like a formal way of developing, like in college or education developing, but to give opportunities to people to develop their leadership style, their leadership method, or their leadership personalities and qualities and that type of thing. And it's something that we continue to miss over time with this situation. And I think it's old school. It's around from colleges and that I've been around and hearing speakers, is that really we need leaders. We need great leaders in all walks of life. And this is an opportunity for people to be leaders. They don't have to be transsexuals to be leaders. They can be anyone to be leaders in our group. In fact, I think maybe at some point we probably should have a cisgender leader. We should maybe have definitely as diverse as possible. I'm a strong believer in that it's not just helpful. I think it's required of any group to be as diverse as possible and thought, and not necessarily in age and race and gender, but I think that makes it a little bit better also. So when we had these conversations, if we had these conversations before, I probably would never have thought we could have pulled it off. But one of the reasons I even felt that we could pull this off based on my experiences is that our leaders, current leaders and leaders at the time, are individuals that are extremely and fully engaged in making this group very, very strong, this organization very, very strong. And that's absolutely required. Absolutely required in anything like this is not only are they engaged, but they have a passion for this type of stuff. And passion, if you have no passion, it will fry your brain. It will burn you out in a heartbeat. You have to have some passion. You have to have not just some, you have to have passion, blank. I mean, just pure passion for what you're doing. And passion will get you through the really, really rough, difficult times. The third thing is that this group is very talented in a diverse way. We have multiple people that are strong in different ways, and that has been really, really good. And they're very opinionated in that regard. And we talk about it on occasion, and I just recently listened to somebody talk about this type of situation when you have diverse organizations. Or I'm not talking about an organization in diversity like a trans or a organization of color or a women's group. I'm talking about a leadership style that tries to recruit people of different mindsets, people that are coming from different positions. I think it's also extremely important, if not required, to have a really efficient result. Not an efficient process. And I'm going to explain what I'm saying there. So what happens in our meetings, and I'm going to give you an example, a really good example. We have four leaders, myself, and then we have Rachel, we have Julie, and we have Tess. And I'll talk about them in a little bit more detail in a minute. But all four of us are have visually may be very similar. We're nearly the same age. We're trans women. We're the same color, I guess, if you want to put it that way. We're white. Hope that's not derogatory or offensive. And but one has skills in finance, let's say. The other has skills in organization, and the other one has skills in sales and those type of things. And they all four will speak their mind. So what happens in that, if you have a group that is diverse in approach and thinking, coming from different boxes of the world, then it makes it harder to convince someone. For example, to go the opposite direction. Let's say all four of us thought the same way, and as president, I say, hey, I think we need to do blah, 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 and they're going, yeah, sounds good to me, let's do it, because they all are thinking the same thing. I say, well, let's go blah, 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 and then I'm going to get at least two of them saying, I'm not sure I like that idea. And so it makes me bring to the table a strong argument. It makes each one of them bring a strong argument to something when we do something. So if you're watching a meeting like that, you would say, gosh, it's very chaotic. It takes a long time. That is because we have different views, but we all have the same purpose, is to make the group stronger. What's best for the organization is more important. It's what's best for each one of our views. And at some point, then we do agree on a solution. And it makes it really, really, really good. Personally, I function very well in that situation. I've always been that type of in that type of a situation, and I've been in situations where I've been so-called the leader of a group, and I've always encouraged different diversity, different perspectives, different boxes in that situation. So I'm comfortable in that uncomfortability, whereas people that are not used to that will be very, very uncomfortable in that situation. And so I think in any situation, whether you're in a company or whatever, it really is sometimes very, very important to have strong-minded, passionate people that are thinking of different things. They can bring in different perspectives. But again, the key is they all have to have what's in mind, what they think is best for the organization. So therefore, when they hear an argument that makes sense, that may disagree with what they're saying, then they have to have enough open mind to say, okay, I think that's a good idea. And and you know, equally, as far as the president or the leader, has to have the same thing. And that happens with all of us. We make these type of concessions because that's what the group thinks is best. So it's good. So we have, and there's no special order. So one of the things on leadership that I did, which I really think was a great idea, is that previously it was a setup of president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. And the first step that I took when Samantha was the treasurer back before, we still had the vice president, the secretary, and the treasurer. I wanted to change some things at that point. And I made Samantha the CFO at that time because I felt like she needed to be more empowered to make some decisions and to get her more involved in many, many things. And so we were able to make that happen. And then the secretary was pretty much just someone taking notes. I didn't think that was powerful, empowered enough. And so over the course of time, I felt that to empower people sometimes, of course, none of us get paid, but to empower some people at some time, you change their title, you change their role, their job description, and that helps a little bit. So we made everybody a C-level that was the officers. So, and we really have not come up with a hierarchy. I'm not sure we need to. I guess if I'm not going to like it, like when I was gone or something, we had that conversation, but I was within a phone call, so it wasn't anything there. But I'm still the president as far as title. And then we have the three other officers, and that's the CEO, Chief Executive Officer, and that's Tess Graham. Then we have the COO, Chief Operations Officer, and that's Julie Millwood. And then we have the CFO, which is the Chief Financial Officer, and that is Rachel Leiter. And they all three do a very, very good job in that area. Now, currently, Rachel is taking on a whole lot of role because we're going to 501c3, and so that's the CFO, a lot of her role. And she's involved a lot in the banquet because we're at the Hyatt, and she works at the Hyatt, and because of the financial implication of this thing. But as we move forward, most likely, no doubt, then those roles will kind of balance out a little bit as we get the 501c3 done. We get past the banquet, and some other things will start happening at that point. All three very, very passionate, very, very engaged, and very involved. Then we have three other officers I'm going to mention. And so we have a leadership team of seven people. And I'm going to probably botch. I don't know if I've ever heard Bobby's last name. I'm going to spell it for you. I'm going to look it up because I don't even know how to spell it without looking it up. Well, Bobby is, why am I not? Okay, now I get it. come on, I'm sorry. There we go. So Bobby, G-I-N-N-O-V-A, Giannova. Bobby's role is a couple of areas, but she is like a director of trans health. And one of the things that's going on now a lot is, of course, is the direction of improved health care for transgender people. And then she serves that kind of role. And we're in an effort. She's extremely busy right now with a lot of things. So we haven't enabled her to do a lot, but she attends most of the meetings and she gives her input on this the other stuff, even when it doesn't associate with the trans health. Rita Dunn helps her and is like her assistant in that area. And Rita is also our secretary, and she takes the notes and takes care of those type of things, and is also does work with our videoing for the banquet, but we're going to work on getting some better video production moving forward in for the future for our organization. Then we have Maxie Grant, which is the third, and Maxie is in charge of our monthly meetings at this point. I think it's still technically is still pending, tentative. She's not official, but most likely it's going to continue. She does a good job with that. And we're at this point we're having, because we don't have a meeting in November, December is going to be probably our Christmas meeting, so there's not a lot for her to do at that point. But all three of them are very involved and have helped us considerably and very good. Now, the other thing, of course, that has happened is that we all have become very, very good friends. We hang out. I guess that's probably, especially in something like this, needed. I would hate to be in a situation if you were not good friends. Probably just be a real destructive thing in a volunteering situation like this. All right, so that's kind of the overview of our organization. Moving forward, some things we have talked about. Once we get through these kind of things, we're going to talk about some improving the meetings, maybe actually somehow offering other types of meetings. We're talking about incorporating other groups like Sienna, that is from like Evansville or Indianapolis or Cincinnati or Lexington, and getting involved with them a little bit more officially, more directly. It's been taken kind of a back burner at this point, but our directory, we've been working on trying to have a really good resource directory for people to find medical needs and or from medical needs to people that cosmetics to restaurants, to bars, to any place across the country. So a whole lot of things. So I will say this, we still need people, and preferably all these seven at this point are in Louisville, but we are taking steps to make this so we can have officers and people involved across the country. So if you are somewhere outside of the Louisville area, you want to be involved, we're looking for marketing people. public relations people, that type of thing, to help us market and pub, and those. That's probably something that we don't have a lot of strength in our group. We're looking for bloggers, people that would like to blog, that want to be part of the organization and blog. We get on a website and promote. And again, we're looking for groups across the country who might need some help, that we can kind of come in and help and assist you in what you're trying to get done. So give me a call. Give us a call. Contact us at the information. If you can't get a hold of us, just go to the website. That, again, is transwomennational.org. I appreciate everything that all of you that are listening. If you feel like you want to make comments about this at all, please feel free to do that. I've pretty much heard it all, and I will say that I've heard some negative stuff. I knew I would hear some negative stuff, and I will tell you, it bothers me. It really, really does. And I get it. I understand it. But I think our attendance has gotten better. Our financial situation has gotten better. And everything has improved, quite honestly. And so far, it looks like it was a really, really good decision. There's been more people more involved and more people wanting to be involved. And I don't know necessarily, maybe it's just because we feel better because we have a better direction at this point. So I'm not positive exactly what that is. A couple things I want to let you know. Again, we have the banquet coming up in 2 weeks. And that is the 21st at 6:30. And I'm going to give you some more information. We have the Transgender Week of Awareness. So far, the events, and these are on the website, the Trans Women National website. And so far, we have the Trans 101. That is November 15th at 3 o'clock at the First Lutheran Church here in Louisville. That's sponsored by PFLAG. And that, again, starts at 3 o'clock. That information is on the website. We have Movie Night, and that's sponsored by the Louisville LGBT Film Festival. That's November 17th. That's at 7 o'clock. Now, that is a Tuesday night. That Monday night, I think that's Julie's show. So that probably can be counted into the Week of Awareness. Then we have, right now, tentatively, we're going to try to possibly get a safety conversation on that Thursday. That Wednesday night, we probably will still have the ladies' night out or the friends' night out at Chill. And then we have the banquet, which has the reception, the actual banquet, and then the after party. Then on November 22nd at 7 o'clock at the Louisville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, that's on Alta Vista Road. The information is on the website. That is the Louisville Transgender Day of Remembrance. So a lot of things coming up. I will tell you that that's a Sunday, November 22nd. I will be recovering after that, and as well, a lot of us will be recovering. There's other events being added regularly, so check on the website. If you go to the website, Trans Women National website, if you click under events, it'll have a listing of the TWOA events, and you can just click that and go directly to the site. Again, I appreciate everybody listening, and hopefully you have a good week. And next week we have Julie's show starting at 8 o'clock. And I do not know what her topic is going to be at this point, but it will be a really, really good show. I'm sure she's doing a really good job, and I look forward to listening to her every week. So let us know. Please continue to listen. We're still working on getting this on iTunes so you can listen to it on your iPhone at any point. There's all kinds of ways you can listen to it. We also have a newsletter that sends out information. If you want to join that, that information is on our website. As you can tell, I'm losing my voice. So I will let you go. And I, again, hope everything is going good for you. Let me know if we anything we can do for you. And I hope to see you soon at one of our events. Have a good evening. Good night. So that is our show for this evening, and I'm really happy you were able to join us. I would love to hear from you with any comments you may have, and there are many ways you can do that by going to our Contact Us page on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Don't forget you can subscribe to our shows on our Blog Talk Radio page and or subscribe to our shows on iTunes. You can also know that you can listen to any of our past shows on the Blog Talk Radio page on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. More information on this is on our transwomennational.org website. We will be here most Monday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, so I hope to hear from you soon, and trust where your heart takes you. Thank you.
It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally here. I can feel a change in the wind right now. Nothing's my way, and I'm not gonna hold it down no more. No, they're not gonna hold me down.